Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, calling all radio amateurs. This is WD8QCN activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion, questions and answers regarding technical topics such as equipment hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and similar information related to radio art. Planning on continuing with our technical series, reviewing basic electronic components tonight on inductors. If anyone else has a topic they'd like to bring to the net, please call WD8QCN now.
7IVV.
7IVV, evening Brad.
Good evening Steve. Following your discussion, I'd like to discuss briefly, because I don't have a planned syllabus, if you will, but I'd like to at least introduce the topic of crossband repeating, if you will, on certain radios. As we start gearing up for the Great Pumpkin Ride, and I'll cover it in more detail later, but I'd like to at least introduce the topic, so after your presentation.
Absolutely, no problem. We'll certainly accommodate that. My article here is fairly short. I don't think this particular one is quite as in-depth as what we've discussed on some of the other component types here. Had a little bit more trouble finding a decent article on inductors. So if anyone has other pertinent information they'd like to interject on this, I welcome that when we come around for check-ins. Other topics for discussion this evening, please call WD8QCN. Hearing none, we'll go through our announcements first. First of all, solar terrestrial indices looking up a little bit. Solar flux of 154 at last look, some spot number of 102. A index of 12, K of 2, with a G1 level geomag storm in progress, and quite active aurora at the moment here. Looks like we got an uptick in the solar wind there, thanks to that coronal hole that's been flirting. Let's see, we're looks like we're wrapping up the Vent Hill special event K4V on sideband and CW, and I've heard the calls on this repeater a few times. So work then if you can. I've got a club meeting coming up this Thursday the 6th at 7:15 p.m. Details on the club website. And club breakfast scheduled for the 29th at 8:30 a.m. at the Gainesville Wegmans. Also details on the website. Any other announcements?
7IDD.
Brett?
I think you just mentioned it. I was doing three things there. At the risk of hijacking the entire net tonight, I thought KO4VNZ would take a minute just to kind of pre-introduce the Great Pumpkin Ride. We need to start gearing up for that. Is he on?
This is KO4VNZ. Yeah, I don't mind saying a little bit about the Great Pumpkin Ride. Over.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking, was just a little bit. Anyway, back to net. WDAQC. And 7IVV.
Fred, and KO4VNZ, go ahead with your announcement. That's what we're here for.
WD8QNC, this is KO4VNZ. It's just a reminder that the Great Pumpkin Ride is coming up on Saturday, October 22nd. We'll be going into more details at this upcoming meeting. We have to cover at least four remote sites, as well as one more person besides myself to cover the starting line. So we need commitments early, because the Fauquier County Trail Coalition, who runs the drive, wants to be able to give the names of our people to their site coordinators. So be thinking what sites you want to look at. You can go to the Fauquier County or Fauquier Trails Coalition, search them and find their website, and that will take you to where you can download a PDF map that shows four trails the bikers will follow, and it will also show at the bottom the four stations in addition to the start-finish line that we'll need to cover. I think that covers about most of it. This is KO4VNZ, back to Matt.
Thanks, Charles. KO4VNZ, WD8TCN with the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. And is there a sign-up sheet on the website or anything at this point?
No, there isn't. That's my fault. I've been very busy. Kevin sent me some stuff, and I, with many other things going on, including getting my general ticket and, working today with the Cold War Museum, a special event, and a lot of personal issues. I just haven't gotten around to doing a lot of what I should have been doing as a coordinator. My apologies to everyone. Back to Matt.
All right, no worries. We'll try to pick that up here in the next week or so then, and we'll look forward to additional information there at the meeting this Thursday. Hopefully by next weekend there we'll have sign-up sheets available and get folks ready to rock for that. So thanks for that announcement. Does anyone else have any further announcements for the net tonight? Please call WD8QCN.
Doing HTV.
HTV, go ahead, Rich.
Go to the site and the FauquierTrailsCoalition.org/GPR.html will put you right to where there are three maps for three separate trails, and there's a combined PDF map. So Fauquier Trail Coalition, all one word, all run together, FAUQUIER, TrailsCoalition.org/GPR.html. And that'll get you to the maps. And I guess if you want, I can put it, send an email out to the reflector for those who want to get a copy of it. They'll have the URL, and all you do is click on it. Back to Net Control, K1HTV.
7IVV. I know this is not really going to be appropriate, but let's just say, let's let Chuck run this until he needs help at 7IVV.
Roger, Chuck, you want to put that on the reflector?
Roger, I'll do that right now while we're talking.
Net Control, K1HTV.
This is WD8QCN with our Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Dive right into our technical topic. As mentioned earlier, this article leaves a little bit to be desired, but gives a good overview of inductors. I'd like to know who writes these things. I think some of them are not primary English speakers because the grammar's pretty bad, but I'll try to fix that as I go here. So, on inductors, inductors are available in different shapes, and these have different uses. Sizes vary depending on the material used to manufacture them. The main classification is fixed and variable, and then there are different core types. An inductor of a few microhenries may be a dumbbell shape, the size of a simple resistor. A fixed inductor also has silver as its first color in the color code when it's that type. The core of the inductor is its heart. There are many types of inductors according to the core material used, and here are a few. The good old common air core inductor, which we've all seen, little coils of wire. These commonly seen inductors with simple windings have nothing but air as the core material. The non-magnetic material, like plastic and ceramic, sometimes are also used as core materials and come under this classification as well. These inductors offer minimum signal loss at applications having very high magnetic field strength, and there are low core losses as there is no solid core material. Next, we have the iron core inductors. These always have a ferromagnetic material as a core, such as ferrite or iron, and the use of such core materials helps to increase the inductance in a given size due to their high magnetic permeability. Permeability measures the ability of supporting the formation of magnetic fields within the materials, kind of concentrates them. And there are different core types, core mixes, for different frequency ranges to keep those losses low. Inductors that have ferromagnetic core materials suffer from losses and energy losses at high frequency. These inductors are used in the manufacture of some types of transformers and chokes and other things as well. Next we have the toroidal inductors. These also have a ferromagnetic core. Again, lots of different core types to select from for different frequency applications. And basically it's like a donut that the wire is wound on. The main advantage of this type is due to the circular shape, the symmetry achieved in the whole shape minimizes losses in magnetic flux, and you see a lot of these used in AC circuit applications and sometimes small transformers. We have laminated core inductors. Everybody's seen laminated core transformers, I'm sure. We have other inductor types that use these as well. Basically, you have thin laminated steel sheets, stacks as the core material. Usually for an inductor, the loop area is increased for the current to travel. Energy losses increase, whereas in the laminated core inductors, thin steel sheets or stacks are helpful in blocking eddy currents, which minimize loop action. Advantage of laminated core inductors is minimizing energy loss with its construction. These are mostly used in the manufacture transformers, as mentioned. Then we have some powdered core inductors. As the name implies, the core of these inductors have magnetic materials with some air gaps in it, but this kind of construction provides an advantage to the core to store high level of energy compared with other types. The following figure. These inductors provide very low eddy current losses and low hysteresis losses. These are available at low prices and have good stability. And variable inductors are typically inductors with a type of core that can be moved in and out to adjust the inductance over some range. There are also other types where you have moving taps that you can move along the length of the inductor coil. Sorry, gents, that article was not one of the best, rather poorly written, I apologize. So let's see, we'll jump on down to Brad. I know he had a crossband repeating topic to go over tonight, which may be helpful for the Great Pumpkin Ride. And 7IVV from WDAQCN, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Steve, and 7IVV, and sorry for kind of sort of hijacking things tonight. Just a number of things all kind of piled up here, but with the Great Pumpkin Ride coming up in only 3 weeks, on the 22nd, we need to prep for that. Everybody, please give Chuck your cooperation as much as possible. What I'm going to talk about here now is not required, but is a neat little thing that you can do that's very helpful in case you would like to be able to work into a repeater using your mobile or even your house rig with higher power and a higher antenna using your HT, which normally would not be able to get into the repeater. The obvious thing is that it does require a dual band radio that has the capability, and not all of them do anymore. It used to be a really easy function, I believe, but in doing some research here 6 or 8 months ago, I was testing it, and my two radios have it, and I have an ICOM ID 5100 here in the house, and I've got a Yaesu FTM 400 Delta, I think, out in the car, and they both do it. Basically, what crossband repeat is, and by the way, repeater is not simply a term that we use for the repeater up on the hill. Repeating is simply taking a signal from one frequency and repeating it off to another one, preferably through a higher length. So what you're doing is you set your mobile rig up, and I'm not going to go into the steps tonight because, A, I don't have them in front of me, and B, they're different for different radios. What you do is you tell your radio that, all right, I want you to listen on band 2, most likely 440, and then when you receive a signal, then kick it over to band 1 or VFO 1 or A, most likely 2 meters, and send it out. So what we would be doing, and this would be really helpful out of these remote locations, and I mean remote distance, in the Great Pumpkin Ride, because some of those actually get a little spotty with just an HT. We can work it, but it's a little spotty. And by the way, these are areas where they actually have a big hole for cell phone coverage, so they really do depend on us for radio. So anyway, if you've got a dual band in your car, I think a lot of people actually use their car in those locations for doing their communications, but that becomes a little awkward if you're trying to talk to somebody up at the actual rest area or the rest stop area when you've got to be working from your car. So what you do is you flip it over, and then you set your HT to whatever the magic UHF frequency is that you've told your mobile rig to listen to. And there are some recommended, but basically you're just running Simplex on your HT at very low power and let your mobile rig do that switch over, and it transmits up to the repeater, and problem solved. Now, like I say, each rig is a little bit different, and it's unfortunately not obvious. You have to do a little digging, and I will do so between now and, say, the club meeting on Thursday. But the caveat there that's a little confusing at first is that here on our repeater, as you've noticed that I've done 2 or 3 times here and that we all do, we don't wait for the squelch to drop completely. We wait for the beep, okay? Hence, stand by, I'm going to wait for the beep. I transmit again like I usually do. Now I'm going to wait for the carrier to drop, so stand by for that. Long, uncomfortable wait for those of us that aren't ready for it. The thing is, with crossband repeating, you have to wait for the carrier to drop before that crossband configured radio is ready to listen again to the repeater. So if you're out at rest stop number 4 out there in the middle of nowhere, all of us on the net have to be aware that either that individual or all of us, probably just that individual, is using crossband repeat. And we have to wait for the carrier to drop when that one's operated. Now, yeah, it may seem awkward, but that solves the problem of being able to get out of a hole where you couldn't normally do it with an HT, but you can do it just fine with your mobile rig running 50 watts into a higher gain antenna. So that's what that is. We'll talk about it in more detail later. And again, you have to have the mobile rig, so this would not work for everybody. Usually at these activities, we have two people with each location, and more than likely one of them will have a radio that can do this. But if not, it's fine. I mean, we just need to be aware of our limitations as far as line of sight to the repeater. So this is another thing to put in your quiver of arrows for emergency comms and, even for soda, that type of thing. You know, you can get to your car using low power with your HT. The car can then get longer distance. And anyway, so there you go. Back to that, unless anybody has any questions. Back to you, Steve. WDAQCN7IBB.
Okay, thanks for that, Brad. I think that was probably more interesting than my topic tonight, so thank you. Anyone have any questions for Brad on this topic, please call WDAQCN.
ABQV of the question.
HTV, go ahead, Rich.
Question of Brad and the board and the repeater committee. I've talked to John, KX4O. Question is, why can't the carrier length of time before drop be shortened? That's the question for Brad and the board and the repeater committee. Over.
I guess you win for me. That's a good question. And kind of a like, well, duh, yeah, we should do that. I suppose we don't do it because we've never needed to. But I'll pass that on to the repeater committee and see what we can do about that, because I can't see any reason, frankly, to keep the squelch open that long, but there may be some technical reason that I'm not aware of. So I'll definitely bring that up to John and I guess I'll go to our repeater committee chairman, which is Alan, and have him pass that through. So anyway, good point. N7IBB.
All right. Thanks, gents. Much appreciated. Let's take a round of check-ins. All stations, please give your call sign and name slowly and phonetically. Indicate whether you have traffic, comments, or questions. We'll start with mobiles, portables, or stations on short time. Please call WD8QCN. Hearing none, we'll take all other stations. Please call now.
W4RKU.
K3FR.
Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor.
Here is Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
This is Kilo Bravo 3, Alpha Romeo Zulu. Bob, Indian Head, Maryland.
KM4, SPL, no comment.
KJ7APZ, no comment.
This is Kilo, Kilo 4, Bravo Zulu.
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4 GVH Robert will wait.
Okay, let's pause there. We've got N7IVV, KO7VNZ, K1HTV. We've already had one go. We've got W4RKU, Kevin, K3FR, WB7ABV, KM4OZH, KB3ARZ, KM4SPL, no comment. KJ4APD, KK4BZ, and K4GDH. Any other check-ins for the FAR Sunday Night Tactical Service Net, please call WD8QCN now. All right, let's turn it over to W4RKU. Good evening, Kevin. What's new in your neighborhood?
WD8QCN, W4RKU. Good evening, Steve. Thank you for doing the net tonight. It's always a pleasure. Hear you. Haven't done a lot. Look at some of the QSO Today stuff, as well as running. I did a couple of runs on CW with the K4V call, and didn't get much of a response. But I'm not really surprised. Most people were looking for. Because of the California CUSO party, they were looking for, I guess, calls with sixes and not fours, and not a special event call. So, but, you know, gave me a chance to run. I did it all remote. So that was pretty cool. And then that's about all I've done. I'm going to go look for a ground rod tomorrow. I think I've already, but I'm not sure. Other than that, I don't have much to add to the discussion. Oh, wait, stand by. If I recall correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, regarding the Great Pumpkin Ride, the sign-up sheet is actually maintained by the Fuck Your Trails Coalition. You have to go through their website and sign up, because as it was mentioned, they want to know who's manning what. And we normally haven't had a club sign-up sheet. We have just, I mean, might be good to keep a roster of who's manning what, but the real sign-up sheet is you have to sign up at the, I believe, the Fuck Your Trails website, through their website. So if I can find a direct link to that, I will post that as well. But anyway, that's what I wanted to add, because that's the more important one. I'll turn it back over to you, Steve, WD8QCN, W4RKU, after that.
All right, thanks for that, Kevin. W4RKU, W8QCN with the net. And we'll ask Chuck to verify how we want to do sign-ups and have all that information ready to present here Wednesday on the net and Thursday at the club meeting, so we can get that rolling, get everybody looking at the maps there and signed up for where we need them. Thanks much for that. Jump down to Ron, K3FR. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm fine. This is K3FR. Not much going on this week except just the K4V effort. My limited station was only good for about three contacts on the low band, so that's all I'm going to be putting in. And I guess back to you, Steve. WD8QCN, K3FR.
Thanks for that, Ron. And yeah, too bad you weren't able to work a few more there, but curious as to where our totals are with that. An idea yet. I suppose it'll take a while to aggregate all those log files. We'll pitch you down to Al. WB7ABV, how are you tonight, and what's new in your neighborhood?
Correction on the call. This is Whiskey Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor, RAV. I'm not doing too bad. As you get on yesterday and got an hour and a half, got started late, got an hour and a half in and got one call. Got in 2 hours today and managed to pick up another 22 calls. Followed Gil CAM4OZH and put in a couple hours. A good spurt, a couple of spurts, but not much else out there on the bands. Nothing else planned for the next week except taking the XYL to appointments back and forth. Anyway, nothing else going on this end. This is WB7 Romeo Alpha Victor. Back to Nat.
Sorry about that, Randy. I totally botched your call sign there. Thanks for the correction. WB7RAV got you in there correctly now. Thanks much. Let's see, down to Gil, KM4OZH.
WDHTCN, this is KM4OZH. Good evening, Steve, and everybody on the net. Well, all I can figure is I must have wore the band out before I handed it over to Randy, WB7RAV, because I was working at the maximum speed that I could do. I need to be able to learn to be able to do that, a run like that, for 24 hours, for 26 hours for VAQP. I'd be doing good then. So, but in my my little time, I logged 77 contacts there, and I had a great time. So it was good. I was all concerned before that started up that I couldn't hear anybody. I made adjustments on equipment and got myself set up for band switching so that I could cover the three bands. I thought I would be jumping back. It would be dead here, and I'd have to switch someplace else. Once I got started on 40 meters, well, I didn't. There was no need to move. So anyway, so I had a good time. I think hope everything's successful there, and need to thank Chuck KO4VNZ and Dwayne KK4BZ because they just hammered and pounded the whole time. Every time I turn around, you hear them. So it was all good. KM4OZH back to net.
Thanks for that, Gil. This is WD8QCN with the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. Next up is Bob, KB3ARZ. How are you doing tonight?
This is KB3ARZ. Good to hear everybody on the net tonight. I did check into the special event to station twice today. I checked in mobile twice, actually, this morning, just to let Chuck know how far away I was away from the repeater when I was mobile in St. Mary's County, Maryland. Then I checked in when I got home again to let them know that I was home. I don't know if two contacts helped anything, but I did my part, I do believe. And I do like Rich's comment about the squelch tail. There's a few repeaters that have long squelch tails, and that's what kept me away from crossband repeating for a long, long time, because that does hamper cross-band repeat, that long scroll tail. Makes it difficult. And again, there's other repeaters that don't even have a beep or a tone whatsoever. They confuse me from time to time. But all in all, it's been a quiet, peaceful, enjoyable weekend. Had a good time. Good to hear everybody on net. So everybody stay safe, stay dry. This KB3. ARZ back to the net.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, I'm wondering if any of the little crossband add-on kits there, you can plug a couple of the cheap Baofeng radios back-to-back. I wonder if those have the same issue with having to wait for the tail to drop or if you can just go immediately on those. I haven't played with that yet. I played with putting them on packet. I do have a packet kit made up for operating through the Baofeng, but I have not done a crossband kit yet, so that may be the next thing to play with here. Let's see, I've got KN4SPL next. I think he's no comment. We'll jump down to Becca, KJ4ATV. KJ7ATV.
I'm sorry, W4VA. This is KJ7ATV. How's my signal? I'm indoors at a different building, and it's not the greatest antenna on my HD.
OK, Okay, you're coming in solid. Not quite full quieting, but pretty close. Your audio's a bit weak, but other than that, you're perfectly copyable. Go ahead.
Great, thanks. This is Kilo Juliet, 7 Alpha Papa Victor. A question on my call for you there. I said no comment, but since you messed up my call sign, I'll go ahead and make a comment after hearing some of the comments. Greetings, everybody, and 73, y'all. I'll keep this brief. It should be, if you look at spaceweather.com, it should be messing with your propagation. I believe there's 2M class, almost S class. Events happening from the sun and more are expected. So, congrats on that sun. And little feedback, I don't hear any dictators on the net tonight, and seems like a real calm, peaceful net. The rest of the world, well, watch out for dictators. So thanks so much. Back to you, net. 73, y'all. KJ7ATV.
Rebecca, that's one way to get you to speak up, is just to butcher your call a little bit there. I did write it down right. I just said it wrong when I called you there. Sorry about that. Let's see. Next up is Dwayne, KK4BZ. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, all. KK4BZ here. And I'd just like to express my appreciation to Sarah in general and John and Rich and the others that organized the Kilo 4 Victor Special Event Station. Means a lot to me recognizing the folks from World War II and the Cold War. And I just wanted to say thanks a lot. And after the net is over, I'm going to be monitoring the repeater, so if anybody wants to make a QSO, I'd love to put you in the log. Back to net, KK4BZ.
Hi, Glenn, thanks for that. And yes, I echo that sentiment. Thanks to all who organized and turned up to work the event. It's very much appreciated. Good press for the club and for the museum there. Good all around. Thank you for that. And let's see, last up I have K4GVH. How are you, Robert?
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH. I'd be doing a little bit better if my rig hadn't broke on me over the weekend at Dad's again. Poor Mark and Rich went and got my HF rig fixed a couple weeks ago, put a brand new battery in it, and when I went back to my dad to turn it on Friday morning to plug it up, I noticed that my memories were gone again, so I got the radio over here at Reva now, and hopefully I can get a ride to the club meeting Thursday. Hopefully David will be able to pick me up, and I can get the radio down to the club and give it to them in their vehicle, and maybe they can get on the ball and be able to take their time and look at it and maybe check the battery out and that sort of thing, because the little watch battery died again in the Kenwood TF450 at my dad's. So I'm out of HF rig right now at my dad's, but I still got one over here at Reva, but I didn't want to have to move that one, so I didn't. But other than that, I'd be doing pretty well if my battery would have held up, and I didn't get to enjoy it any, hardly. And I did get to run it last weekend. That was the last time I got to talk on it. But other than that, I'm very upset about that, and hopefully we can get it working again soon. And I hope somebody will be able to pick it up. If I don't get to make it to the meeting on Thursday, hopefully somebody will be able to come and pick it up Friday before I need to go to Dad's or whatever, or something like that. So hopefully I get to make it to the meeting, K1HTV. That'll mean K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH, and 73. Back to that control.
Robert, thanks for that. Hope to see you down there. Any other check-ins or any rechecks for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net, please call WD8QCN.
K1HTV and a recheck.
7IVB.
KD4REE.
Got K1HTV and then 7IVB with rechecks, and I've got KD4REE is a new check-in. We'll let you go first, Sam.
Yeah, just want to check in and say hi, and I hear Bob on the net as well. Hope everyone is having a nice day, considering it's cold and rainy outside, just waiting for the warmer weather. Don't have too much to add. Although I did hear some California stations on 20 meters and 15 and 17 meters were open to South America. I noticed nothing else going on. I'm going to go back to studying the homework. So back to net control from KU4REE.
All right, thanks for that, Sam. We'll go back to Rich, K1HTV.
Thank you, Steve, and thanks for doing the net. This is K1HTV in Amosville.
Let's see, spent Saturday quite a few hours on the operating his K4V here at the home station. And then I put another 30 minutes, another 45 minutes in today after I got home from Andy's. Got a call from KK4BZ on the road and not able to get back for that 7-8 hours, so 7-8 p.m. hour. So I, about a quarter after 7, I got on. He just came down the shack, made 30 contacts on 40 CW. Some in Europe, but most, about maybe a third of them in Europe and the rest in the States. But the best band I found was 40 meters CW, worked 71 stations on 40 CW, 28 stations on 20 CW, 25 on 20 meter sideband, 26 contacts on 15 CW, only 7 on 15 sideband, 18 on 10 sideband, which worked quite well to Europe, almost all Europe, on Saturday morning, and 1 CW contact right before I got on 40 meters, worked a Charlie X-ray on CW from Uruguay. Total 176 QSOs, 28 countries, 28 states. That was my total, and I'm sticking to it. Band's in good shape tonight to Australia. I went in JA land. I worked 7 JAs on 10, and I'm on 17 now, and there's still Pacific coming through on 10 and 12, I should say, not 17, 12 meters. And with the solar flux climbing up to the 150, if we don't get a high K index, we should have some more fun DXing on the higher bands. So it's good to see the sun wide awake. I attended a Zoom call that Scott McIntosh gave on Thursday to the Front Range 6-meter group out in Colorado. And I believe it's available. If anybody wants the URL, it's about an hour-plus presentation about the sun and his predictions. The predictions, the original predictions from his group was around 200, over 200 spots at the peak, and he's now looking like it's going to be around like 190. He's peaking. He's expecting the peak to occur earlier than the consensus. He thinks it may peak in 2024 and not in 2025 as the consensus group. But the consensus group also had a little number of about 140 sunspots. So we'll see. Stay tuned. Stay back to net control. This is K1HTV.
All right. Thanks for that, Rich. And Brad, M7IVV, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Kind of my personal notes here. It was kind of nice, but kind of dreary this weekend. I don't know. Usually I like a rainy day, but for some reason this weekend was real dreary. And obviously it certainly dampened the activity for the K4V event station. But, oh well. Speaking of Aurora, I've got a website that I like to watch, and I see the Aurora is just starting. It's up in Manitoba, and for anybody who's interested, it's on explore.org, explore.org, and you can find it. It's just the Aurora Borealis Northern Lights link. They've got a whole bunch of interesting links, but it's up 24/7. And this year, I noticed they just have the camera pointing north. Whereas before, they've had an operator that kind of moved it around, and you could see some spectacular stuff. Last night, it was quite spectacular, and it's not even dark there yet, and you can see the aurora, so check that out. Thanks again for everybody who participated and helped out with the special event station, and not that there's any real time limit, but we said we'd run until midnight tonight, so anybody who wants to get on and make a few contacts still, go ahead. Club meeting coming up this Thursday, just to note, we will have a brief kind of rah-rah, get ready to roll kind of thing by Chuck for the Great Pumpkin Ride details. For those who don't know, just a real short thing. The major draw, if you will, interesting part will be Kevin, W4KRKU, will be doing a presentation on the Raspberry Pi, Rig Pi. Which I think uses a Raspberry Pi, but that should prove very interesting. He uses that for his remote station, for his work, when he's working the radio. So that should be a very interesting presentation. So by all means, come in for that. I'm sure there was one other thing I wanted to mention, but it doesn't matter now. So I'll catch all of you later. Thanks a lot for checking in tonight, everybody. Back to you, Steve. WDAQCN and 7IBB.
Thank you, Brad. Good stuff all around. Try to get home from work early here so I can catch all the good stuff in that meeting this Thursday. Looking forward to that. And, just to sum it up here this week, I've worked some really
decent DX the past 2 days. Finally caught a station on the air in the Philippines. Boy, that's been hard. That's been one of the hardest ones to catch. It's not a hard spot in the world to reach, but, man, it's just hard to catch anyone on the air there. There's, it seems like all the operators that are on in the Philippines are from somewhere else. There's very few local hams active on HF. You know, I've been over there a few times and seen them on VHF, but never caught them on HF. So that was a good one. I was happy to finally get that one. And there were a couple other interesting ones that popped up this week. And I've gone a blank on which ones, but there were a couple of the Caribbean islands that you don't hear very often as well. So good stuff all around. Enjoy working the HF, and let's go check it out here tonight and see what's happening on 17 meters and 15 meters here in a little bit. See if I can work some more good Asia stations. All set. They'll take one last call for any additional check-ins for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Please call WD8QCN.
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH free check.
Robert.
I want to make sure, Rich, when you get around to it, I just want to put on the net that you be sure to give me a landline tomorrow sometime on the landline and let you know I do have everything over here at Riva. So if I don't, in case if I don't get to make it to the meeting Thursday, hopefully somebody can pick that thing up when they can. Or hopefully I don't have to drag that thing back to Dad and put it up there in the room. But if that, I can give me a call tomorrow or something and let me know how it's going to be. So I'll keep you posted, Rich, or you can give me a call tomorrow sometime. Start holding that up, guys. K4GVH and 73.
Thanks, Robert. Any other final check-ins or rechecks for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net, please call WD8QCN now. Hearing none, this is WD8QCN, Net Control for the FARA Net. Thanks to everyone for joining us tonight. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FARA, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to faranet@w4va.org. This is WD8QCN closing the FARA Net and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thanks again to everyone for joining us this evening. Have a great one, and 7-3.
7-IVV, K1-HGTV.
7-IVV.
Hey, Brad, that's a neat Aurora site. I'm just clicking on the Aurora Borealis site. In the last maybe 5 minutes, the sky got all green. It's lighting up again. It was the blue and green, but it's a neat website. Explorer, which I did first, but explore.org. And there are a lot of pictures. You just click on the one that says Aurora. And that's a neat site, so thanks for posting it.
Yeah, you bet. It's one, unfortunately, that if you're not careful, will keep you up all night watching it, because, the Aurora is just so fascinating to me. I love watching it. And it's live, and some nights the Aurora is just, it's just rippling. It's just amazing. I mean, it's rippling pretty well right now, but wait until it gets a little darker. I noticed on spaceweather.com or whatever it is, I don't have my mouse handy, they're showing clear up into the red as far as forecast for tonight, so it should be quite a spectacular show. All right, I got to run. I got a landline. Talk to you later in 7IVV.
The K index up to 5 already, and the BZ component is tilted south, so we're in for some Aurora. Thanks again for posting it. This is K1HTV, and Robert, if you're still there, I got your message. I'll try to give you a call tomorrow. K4SO should be home tomorrow from the race that he went to over the weekend with his son. I'll give him the word, and then we'll figure out how to get the radio. KO4RBW said he was in Kitty Hawk. He's going to be up, and he hopes to be able to come down there and pick you up on Thursday. I'll let you know when I hear. He's got your phone number, so I'll probably call you directly in Riva. K4GVH, K1HTV.
K1HTV, K4GVH. Yeah, I appreciate it. I drove everything here home this evening and had to put in my dad's sister's van because we drove her van. So thanks the good Lord to my dad and my cousin Johnny to help me carry it. I carried the radio, and I'll tell you what, I got the radio in is the tote. You know, the tote that y'all gave me, I put the radio in the tote. And I had to do that because I didn't have no other box to put in it to get it down my dad's steps.
It's kind of awkward, and especially with those new steps without a rail. You got to be careful. Let your brother help you on the other end of it when you get down to the Riva place. Let's see. By the way, the last contact I made this in the
right before the net, a few minutes, 5 minutes before the net on 40CW. I got called by K2OHK, and usually we're making quick contacts back and forth. And he says, what's the special event on CW? I said, QSY, or just check QRZ.com for info. And then he came back and said, I'm a blind ham. I can't check. Tell me what the special event was. So I did the special event. I checked his call in QRZ. Fortunately, his granddaughter had written a bio about him at the end. I gave a phone number, so I told him on CW, I'll call you on the phone. And I did. He's using a TS-450, just like you. He operates 40 meters CW regularly, and he's able to change bands and type in the frequency. So you need to learn how to type in the frequency. That radio is still very usable. He does not use memories. So he just types in the frequency, and he reads out with the voice reader like you do. So you need to learn how to push the buttons. K4GVH, K1HTV.
I feel bad I had to bother y'all Friday. I mean, bother you about it there Friday, Rich, because, I mean, that thing was working great. And all I did was just unplug it. So I don't know what's going on. That's something killing that battery inside the radio, or unless that was a bad battery when we got it and didn't know it. I mean, I know it ain't y'all's fault. And I really feel bad. I told Dad, I said, I really do feel bad to bother Mark, to bother Rich and tell him about what happened to it. I started to let it go and not say anything about it.
When Mark took it apart, he'll try again. Well, if the battery is good, then there's some wiring issue where the battery is not there. I show you, when you had it plugged into the wall, there is voltage across that circuit. And I think by unplugging it again, if the battery was no longer in the circuit, either it failed or there's a wiring issue between the battery and the memory device, that's probably when you pull the power, it just lost the memory. So if you had left it on, it probably wouldn't fail until you finally did pull the power. So try to get Mark to look at it when it comes back. He's taken that radio apart a number of times already. All right, I've got to give this Kate for my fellow Rajana Net, so I'm going to give K2OHK, blind ham up in New York, a call, and he had a few more questions, so I'm going to see how I can help him. Take care, Robert. See you again. K4GVH, K1HTV, clear. I'll call you tomorrow.
I left the elbow on the radio, too, like you had on. I don't know. I couldn't get that off, so I left the elbow on the radio, so Mark, I have to look at that, and when you come back to bed to hook it up, we just have to put all the cables back. I left it all in the switch, so you can call me in the morning sometime when you get them available. I'll be around. So K1HTV, K4GVH, and y'all have a blessed evening. Sorry so much to bother y'all guys. K4GVH, and good night.
That's three, Robert. Good night. K1HTV, clear.
And this is Kilo for Victor. If anybody from the net or Farah or anybody else wants to do a quick QSO here, I am standing by. CQ, CQ, CQ. This is Kilo for Victor, Kilowatt for Victoria. Special event station for Vent Hill Farms and the Cold War Museum.
Kilo for Victor, KJ7APG.
A station calling Kilo for Victor. Come again, sir, is on the other frequency.
K4 Victor, this is Kilo, Juliet, 7, Alpha, Papa, Victor, Becca here in Midland.
Kilo, Juliet, 7, Alpha, Papa, Victor, how you doing, Becca? Thanks for checking in with the special event station here and helping us celebrate the brave men and women at Vent Hill Farms on the 80th anniversary, over.
Very good. So what have you got there at the museum? What does it look like? What are the exhibits?
Have you been to the Cold War Museum?
Negative.
It's actually a pretty nice presentation of what was going on at Vent Hills Farm on our website, both the Farah website and the QRZ page for Kilo 4 Victor. There's some pictures, but they don't capture all the things that went on there. It was a special listening post for both World War.